O.J. Simpson denied bail in a judge sentencing him to 15 years in prison for his armed robbery, kidnapping, and assault convictions. Is it just our imagination, or are we seeing more black faces in the fashion magazines these days? Could we call it the Michelle Obama effect? And the Grammy nominations went prime time this year. Could the star-studded event lure viewers back to watch the awards? Here to get us up to speed on all of that and more is Allison Samuels, a national correspondent for Newsweek magazine. Allison, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
So, OJ, yes. 15 years.
Yes.
What do you say?
I say that I think this is a moment for history because so many people felt that he got off the last time. That I think a lot of people feel like this is just sort of the circle, you know, just sort of coming back around.
It's hard to come up with the right words, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And to see him earlier this morning crying, you know, pleading, sort of apologizing for everything that happened, it just really did take you back to, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, 13 years ago, I think, when he was actually acquitted. And, you know, he seemed certainly sorrowful, but I just think, you know, America has just been listening and living with this guy for so long that they're sort of tired of him. I don't think he has that same type of sympathy that he got the last time, particularly from the African-American community.
It's really interesting. We had a previous conversation about multiculturalism and diversity, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. O.J. Simpson certainly played a part in that a decade ago, and
Definitely.
This is the coda
yeah.
to that, I guess would be one way of putting that. Let's talk about something else.
Okay.
Michelle Obama, you had a big cover story in Newsweek. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Last week titled, What Michelle Means to Us. What kind of response? I saw that it was one of the top viewed pieces at Newsweek.
Yes, we got a great response. You know, we also had, you know, some negative response as well. I think that goes along with the territory. But a lot of response, I mean, particularly from, I think, younger people, younger African Americans, younger minorities overall, just sort of saying what, you know, how inspirational it was. And that because so many of us don't fit into that mold of what it's termed beauty in this country. And to see someone like her on the cover of a magazine who, you know, she has a model frame. She has all the things that models sort of have, but just not that traditional look. So I think it was inspirational for a lot of young people, which is great.
You wrote something that was interesting. I'd like to ask you to respond to it. Here's your quote. Michelle will be a daily reminder that we are not all hot-headed, foaming at the mouth, drug addicts, always ready with a quick one-liner and a roll of the eyes. Is that an image of black women that you think still dominates?
I think so, particularly in pop culture. I think, you know, on television, I made a point in one of my recent articles, you have to go back to Claire Huxtable to find a very dominant, visible African-American female character that had a positive background. I mean, you just don't see it. And I think that as long as you don't have that daily reminder or weekly reminder of that there's so many different types of African-American women and men, that stereotype is going to continue. But I do think with Michelle Obama out there constantly, you know, people are going to sort of, you know, take a step back and sort of look and say, okay, what am I missing here? I'm not including the entire group of people here. Let me think about that.
Let me throw you a curve, okay? There was an issue about whether or not Michelle Obama would be on the cover of Vogue
yeah.
or the cover of either Essence or Ebony
right.
first as the first
mm-hmm.
lady.
Mm-hmm.
Was that resolved?
It's no, not yet. It's still they had a great she will be on the cover of Essence. She and Barack will be on the cover of Essence. I think that what the problem is that they don't want her to be seen as a fashionista. I think they're very concerned about Michelle's people.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't want that to come off as, and I think Vogue, you know, obviously is primarily a fashion magazine, whereas Essence and Ebony, you can truly get into some issues and get into some policy things, whereas you can't do it so much with Vogue. And I think they're very concerned about her not sort of just being viewed as this fashion plate because, you know, she does have a Harvard degree. She is a lawyer. And I think that's smart on some level to sort of be careful about how she's actually viewed, particularly so early.
One last White House mm-hmm. question. Her mother
mm-hmm.
moving into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's been a mother-in-law in the White House in a long, long time.
Very long time. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be great because I think the girls have, their children have certainly depended on her in these last 2 years when their parents went around doing the campaign. And also, I think it is a sort of extension of what black families do around the country. I mean, the grandparents have a really big role in a lot of their grandkids' lives. So I'm hoping that it will happen because I think it'll be a great, you know, thing for the kids.
All right, let's go from Washington to Hollywood. I was flipping the TV the other night
mm-hmm.
and I stopped at CBS not knowing that it was on, but
right.
the Grammy nominations concert. And
mm-hmm.
so I sat there, my wife and I, and we watched it. The Grammys, of course, have sputtered in recent years, but last February, their worst in ever, I guess, their
yeah.
third worst show ever. So this new thing with this concert, It actually got 7 million viewers. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting idea.
I think it's an interesting idea. And I think we have to remember with this economy, people aren't going out as much. You know, people are going to be home watching their TV. So I think, you know, it's a smart idea to do right now because the music industry is still struggling. But I do think with the economy as it is, people are going to have some free time where they're going to have to fill it up. And watching TV is going to be one way.
Well, as I told you, I was flipping it, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I caught when I landed on the channel, and it made me stay there. Listen to this.
I love you, Porgy, don't let him take me.
That's Christina Aguilera. She was performing, and I'm like, man, what is this? It was great.
No, it was really amazing to just sort of see it, and she sounded so great. She's, you know, she has a wonderful voice. I think, you know, the wonderful part about that is that they're giving people a diversity. I think the music industry has been stuck so long in this sort of one, you know, just one sort of sound that now it's like, okay, we have this captive audience because of the economy. People mm-hmm. will be sitting down and looking at television. How do we sort of utilize that for the best? And I think the way they're doing it is just sort of giving diversity, and that was one taste of it.
Well, we'll see. February is when the Grammy Awards show is coming up. Another topic, tragic, actually, Jennifer Hudson, you know, picking up 4 Grammy nods right. that particular night at the same time that they make an arrest in the murders of her family. I understand, though, that she has really been getting a great deal of support from some high-level celebrities like Oprah Winfrey and others.
Oprah Winfrey, Quincy Jones. I spoke to Quincy last week, and he was saying he'd spoken to her, reached out to her, and just asked her, did she need anything? Sarah Jessica Parker, who she was in Sex and the City. I mean, everyone has sort of reached out to her. And I mean, how can you not in this particular kind of situation? I think anybody who doesn't have some type of sympathy for someone who's gone through this, I don't know how you could not reach out to someone like her.
I guess one of the questions that fans would have, and I would put myself in that category, is, you know, how do you bounce back from that, and how do you perform, and how do you do your work and your job and pursue your career with such a heavy, heavy heart?
Well, I think for Jennifer, since I think her mother was a huge influence on her and, you know, was really supportive of her career, I would hope that she would sort of think about, you know, this is what her mother would want her to do, is sort of continue that career, continue to shine. Her mother did get to see a great deal of her success. She saw her win the Oscar. You know, so I have to feel that that is what she's going to have to rely on to sort of make it, you know, through the rest of her career.
All right. One more topic. Mm-hmm. This is great. I love having you on here because you know everything about Hollywood. All these Will Smith, you know, billboards everywhere and the trailers for this new movie called 7 Pounds. Mm-hmm. And you know how they promote films now.
Right.
You don't know what the heck the film is about.
Right.
You've been talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So fill us in.
Well, I can't tell you what the film was about. I mean, I've seen it, but you can't tell the ending because the ending is the part that they really just want you to know. But he's definitely in this bittersweet mode. I mean, if you've seen the last few Will Smith movies, Pursuit of Happiness, I Am Legend, they're all sort of, you know, a little down. He said he's in this bittersweet moment where he's trying to figure out how life doesn't always give you exactly what you want. You can be doing really, really well, as he is, but still not have everything exactly the way you want. And it was an interesting conversation because I asked him why, you know, is something bittersweet in your life right now? And the only thing he could talk about was his grandmother, who I guess died from a stroke a couple of years ago, and how he never really dealt with that tragedy in his life. And that these films have been a great outlet, you know, for really digging deep and sort of getting into that pain. So
yeah, we can never know what goes on in a person's personal life, but it's hard to imagine what Will Smith could possibly need.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I think when you have things like death, we all go through that, and there's just no comfort for that other than, and he said that he really didn't deal with it. He didn't cry at the funeral. He just really felt like, oh, you know, she's in a better place now. And I think we all deal with, you know, pain and suffering in different ways. And his, I think, is to bring it out, you know, in his films.
Now, sometimes in these interviews, things don't make it into the page.
Right.
They don't make it onto the air.
Right, right, right.
I know there's something that you talked about with Will that did not make it in the interview. What was it that's good that you can share with us?
Well, I mean, he said so many things, but I mean, because he talked a lot about his friendship with Tom Cruise. He talked about his son, Jaden, who's going to be doing Karate Kid, which I thought was interesting, and he's producing it. And I was asking him just sort of like, how do you deal with your kids being these celebrities? How do you sort of keep them grounded. And his sort of point was he thinks he's becoming more and more like his father, being a little bit too stern, being a little bit too sort of hands-on. And that, you know, that's something he's sort of really trying to deal with his kids. Like, do you really want to do this? Or, you know, am I pushing you too hard? And, you know, it's funny, he's really sat back and sort of thought about what kind of parent am I being right now.
Is he the highest paid actor in Hollywood right now?
Right now, yes, he is. And it's going to be interesting to see what 7 Pounds does, because it's a difficult movie to market, which you've sort of seen. So I don't know if this is going to have the box office receipts that many movies of his have had before, and particularly, again, with the recession. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. I think that's going to be a test of his star power, and I think he knows that as well.
He's not going to be talking to a dog again in the movie, is he?
No. There's okay. No dog in this movie. There is a dog in this movie. I'm sorry. There is a dog, and he does talk to it. I'm sorry.
Dog. Okay.
He has to have a dog.
Allison, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
That was Allison Samuels, a national correspondent for Newsweek magazine. She joined us right here in the studios of NPR West in Culver City.